We are continuing chapter 24 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Now let's see where we are. Okay, I think.
Well, they just.
They're looking for Hagrid.
Hogsmeade. They were just about to go into the Three Broomsticks.
That's
they
right.
They cut outside Hagrid.
Yeah. Okay. The pub was as crowded as ever, but one look around at the tables told Harry Hagrid wasn't there. His heart sinking, he went up to the bar with Ron and Hermione and ordered 3 butterbeers from Madame Morsmerta, and thought gloomily that he might as well have just stayed behind and listened to the egg wailing after all. "Doesn't he ever go into the office?" Hermione whispered suddenly. "Look." She pointed into the mirror behind the bar, and Harry saw Ludo Bagman reflected there, sitting in a shadowy corner with a bunch of goblins. Bagman was talking very fast, in a low voice, to the goblins, all of whom had their arms crossed and were looking rather menacing. It was odd, Harry thought, that Bagman was here at the Three Broomsticks on a weekend when there was no Triwizard event and therefore no judging to be done. He watched Bagman in the mirror. He was looking strained again, and quite as strained as he had been that night in the forest before the Dark Market appeared. But just then, Bagman glanced over at the bar, saw Harry, and stood up. In a moment, Harry saw him say brusquely to the goblins, and Bagman hurried through the pub toward Harry, his boyish grin back in place. "Harry," he said, "how are you? Been hoping to run into you. Everything going all right?" "Fine, thanks," said Harry. "Wonder if I could have a quick private word, Harry," said Bagman eagerly. "You couldn't give us a moment, you two, could you?" "Okay," said Ron, and he and Hermione went off to find a table. Bagman led Harry along the bar to the end furthest from Madame Rosemerta. "Well, I thought I'd congratulate you again on your splendid performance against that horntail, Harry," said Bagman. "Really superb." "Thanks," said Harry, but he knew this couldn't be all Bagman wanted to say, because he could have congratulated Harry in front of Ron and Hermione. Bagman didn't seem in any particular rush to spill the beans, though. Harry saw him glance in the mirror at the goblins, who were all watching him and Harry in silence through their dark, slanting eyes. "Absolute nightmare," said Bagman to Harry in an undertone, noticing Harry watching the goblins too. "Their English isn't too good. It's like being back with all the Bulgarians at the Quidditch World Cup. But at least they use sign language another human could recognize. This lot kept babbling in gobbledygook. I only know one word of gobbledygook. Wadvak. It means pickaxe. I don't like to use it in case they think I'm threatening them." He gave a short, booming laugh. "What do they want?" Harry said, noticing how the goblins were still watching Bagman closely. Well, said Bagman, looking suddenly nervous. They're looking for Barty Crouch." "Why are they looking for him here?" said Harry. "He's at the Ministry in London, isn't he?" "As a matter of fact, I have no idea where he is," said Bagman. "He sort of stopped coming to work. Been absent for a couple weeks now. Young Percy, his assistant, says he's ill. Apparently, he's just been sending in instructions by Owl. Would you mind not mentioning that to anyone, Harry? Because Rita Skeeter's still poking around everywhere she can, and I'm willing to bet she'd work up Barty's illness into something sinister. Probably says he's gone missing like Bertha Jorkins." "Have you heard anything about Bertha Jorkins?" Harry asked. "No," said Bagman, looking strained again. "I've got people looking, of course." "About time," thought Harry. "And it's all very strange. She definitely arrived in Albania because she met her second cousin there. But then she left the second cousin's house to go south and see an aunt, and she seems to have vanished without trace en route. Blowed if I can see where she's got to. She doesn't seem the type to elope, for instance. But still... What are we doing talking about goblins and Bertha Jorkins? I really wanted to ask you," he lowered his voice, "how are you getting on with your golden egg?" "Not bad," Harry said untruthfully, but Bagman seemed to know he wasn't being honest. "Listen, Harry," he said, still in a very low voice, "I feel very bad about all this, the way you were thrown into the tournament. You didn't volunteer for it. And if..." His voice was so quiet now, Harry had to lean closer to listen. "If I can help at all, a prod in the right direction. I've taken a liking to you, the way you got past that dragon. Well, just say the word." Harry stared up at Bagman's round, rosy face and his wide baby blue eyes. "We're supposed to work out the clues alone, aren't we?" he said, careful to keep his voice casual and not sound as though he was accusing the head of the Department of Magical Games and Sports of breaking the rules. Well, yes," said Bagman impatiently, "but come on, Harry, we all want a Hogwarts victory, don't we?" "Have you offered Cedric help?" Harry said. The smallest of frowns creased Bagman's smooth face. "No, I haven't," he said. "Well, I've taken a liking to you. Just thought I'd offer." "Well, thanks," said Harry, "but I think I'm nearly there with you. A couple more days should crack it." He wasn't entirely sure why he was refusing Bagman's help, except that Bagman was almost a stranger to him, and accepting his assistance would feel so much more like cheating than asking advice from Ron, Hermione, or Sirius. Bagman looked almost affronted, but couldn't say much more as Fred and George turned up at that point. "Hello, Mr. Bagman," said Fred brightly. "Can we buy you a drink?" No, said Bagman, with a last disappointed glance at Harry. "No, thank you, boys." Fred and George looked quite as disappointed as Bagman, who was surveying Harry as though he had let him down badly. "Well, I must dash," he said.
"I feel bad for Harry and Bagman. I want them to like each other, because I like Bagman."
I thought he was under the Confucius term.
You mean...
Crucius.
No. Imperius.
Imperius, yeah.
He is? By who?
I don't know. I thought he was.
Someone thought it was Crouch.
Oh, maybe it is Crouch. That would make sense. "Well, I must dash," he said. "Nice seeing you all. Good luck, Harry." He hurried out of the pub. The goblins all slid off their chairs and exited after him. Harry went to rejoin Ron and Hermione. "What did he want?" Ron said the moment Harry had sat down. "He offered to help me with that egg," said Harry. "He shouldn't be doing that," said Hermione, looking very shocked. "He's one of the judges. And anyways, you've already worked it out, haven't you?" Nearly, said Harry. "Well, I don't think Dumbledore would like it if he knew Bagman was trying to persuade you to cheat," Hermione said, still looking deeply disapproving. "I hope he's trying to help Cedric as much." "He's not, I asked," said Harry. "Who cares if Digger is getting help," said Ron. Harry privately agreed. "Those goblins didn't look very friendly," said Hermione, sipping her butterbeer. "What are they doing here?" "Looking for Crouch, according to Bagman," said Harry. "He's still ill. Hasn't been into work."
"Maybe Percy's poisoning him," said Ron.
"Probably thinks if Crouch snuffs it, he'll be made a head of the Department of International Magical Cooperation." Hermione gave Ron a "don't joke about things like that" look and said, "Funny. Goblins looking for Mr. Crouch. They'd normally deal with the Department for the Regulations and Control of Magical Creatures." "Crouch can speak loads of different languages, though," said Harry. "Maybe they need an interpreter." "Worried about poor little goblins now, are you?" Ron asked Hermione. "Thinking of starting up SPUG or something? Society for the Protection of Ugly Goblins?" "Ha, ha, ha," said Hermione sarcastically. "Goblins don't need protection. Haven't you been listening to what Professor Binns has been telling us about goblin revolutions?" "No," said Harry and Ron together. "Well, they're quite capable of dealing with
the wizard." "No, it's more like, no."
"Yeah, right," said Hermione, taking another sip of butterbeer.
"See, again, I would be such a nerd."
"Yeah, I know. Although apparently Professor Binns was very boring."
"Yeah, but still.
They're very clever."
"Goblin revolutions, I mean, come on."
"I know.
Also, revolutions are interesting."
"Exactly. Anyways," Hermione goes, "they're very clever. They're not like house elves who never stick up for themselves." "Uh-oh," said Ron, staring at the door. Rita Skeeter just entered. She was wearing banana yellow robes today. Her long nails were painted shocking pink. And she was accompanied by her paunchy photographer. She bought drinks, and she and the photographer made their way back through the crowds to a table nearby. Harry, Ron, and Hermione glaring at her as she approached. She was talking fast and looking very satisfied about something. "Didn't seem to be very keen to talk to us, did he, Bozo? Now why would that be, do you think? And what is he doing with a pack of goblins in tow, anyways? Showing them the sights? What nonsense. He was always a bad liar. Reckon something's up. Think we should do a bit of digging? Disgraced ex-head of Magical Games and Sports, Ludo Bagman. Snappy start to a sentence, Bozo. We just need to find a story to fit. Trying to ruin someone else's life, said Harry loudly. A few people looked around. Rita Skeeter's eyes widened behind her jeweled spectacles as she saw who had spoken. Harry! Oh, sorry, I totally forgot to do her accent.
It's okay.
Okay, should I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Harry, she said, beaming. How lovely. Why don't you come and join? I wouldn't come near you with a 10-foot broomstick, said Harry furiously. What did you do that to Hagrid for? What did you do that to Hagrid for, eh? Rita Skeeter raised her heavily penciled eyebrows. Our readers have a right to the truth, Harry. I'm merely doing my... Who cares if he's a half-giant, Harry shouted. There's nothing wrong with him. The whole pub had gone very quiet. Madame Rosemary was staring over him, over from the behind the bar, apparently oblivious to the fact that the flagon she was filling with mead was overflowing. Rita Skeeter's smile flickered very slightly, but she hitched it back almost at once. She snapped open her crocodile skin handbag, pulled out her quick quotes quill, and said, How about giving me an interview about the Hagrid you know, Harry? Man behind the muscles? Your unlikely friendship and the reasons behind it? Would you call him a father house substitute? Hermione stood up very abruptly, her butterbeer clutched in her hand as though it were a grenade. You horrible woman, she said through gritted teeth. You don't care, do you? Anything for a story, and anyone will do, won't they? Even little Bagman. Sit down, you silly little girl, and don't talk about things you don't understand, said Rita Skeeter coldly, her eyes hardening as they fell on Hermione. I know things about Ludo Bagman that would make your hair curl. Not that it needs that, she added, eyeing Hermione's bushy hair. Let's go, said Hermione. Come on, Harry, Ron. They left. Many people were staring at them as they went. Harry glanced back as they reached the door. Rita Skeeter's quick quotes quill was out, and it was zooming backward and forward over a piece of parchment on the table. "'It'll be after you next, Hermione,' said Ron in a low and worried voice, as they walked quickly back up the street. "'Let her try,' said Hermione defiantly. She was shaking with rage. "'I'll show her. Silly little girl, am I? I'll get her back for this. First Harry, then Hagrid.' You don't want to go upsetting Rita Skeeter, said Ron nervously. I'm serious, Hermione. She'll dig something up on you. My parents don't read the Daily Prophet. She can't scare me into hiding. Why does anyone read the Daily Prophet?
Seriously, it's like the worst newspaper ever. And also, why do they only have one? What the fuck?
Right. Because it's, like, again, remember, it's sort of like they're a caricatured Stunted. World.
Yeah.
Their world is what you would, if you were like 10 years old. And you wouldn't think of making multiple newspapers because you don't know. You think, oh, yeah, there's a newspaper. You don't think that there has to be competition.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Hermione is now striding so fast that it was all Harry and Ron could do to keep up with her. The last time Harry had seen Hermione in a rage like this, she had hit Draco Malfoy in the face. And Hagrid isn't hiding anymore, she said. He could never have let that excuse for a human being upset. Come on. Breaking into a run, she led them all the way back up the road, through the gates, flanked by winged boars, and up through the grounds to Hagrid's cabin. Hagrid, Hermione shouted, pounding at his front door. Hagrid, that's enough. We know you're in there. Nobody cares if your mum was a giantess, Hagrid. You can't let that foul Skeeter woman do this to you. Hagrid, get out here. You're just being... And the door opened. Hermione said, about time. And then stopped very suddenly because she'd found herself face to face, not with Hagrid, but with Albus Dumbledore. Good afternoon, he said pleasantly, smiling down at them. We wanted to see Hagrid, said Hermione, in a rather small voice. Yes, I surmised as much, said Dumbledore, his eyes twinkling. Why don't you come in? Okay, said Hermione. She, Ron, and Harry went into the cabin. Fang launched himself upon Harry the moment he entered, barking madly and trying to lick his ears. Harry fended off Fang and looked around. Hagrid was sitting at his table, where there were two large mugs of tea. He looked like a real mess. His face was blotchy, his eyes swollen, and he had gone to the other extreme where his hair was concerned. Far from trying to make it behave, it now looked like a wig of tangled wire. Hi, Hagrid, said Harry. Hagrid looked up. Whoa, he said in a very hoarse voice. More tea, I think, said Dumbledore, closing the door behind Harry, Ron, and Hermione, drawing out his wand and twiddling it. A revolving tea tray appeared in midair along with a plate of cakes. Dumbledore magicked the tray onto the table, and everybody sat down. There was a slight pause, and then Dumbledore said, Did you by any chance hear what Miss Granger was shouting, Hagrid? Hermione went slightly pink, but Dumbledore smiled at her and continued, Hermione, Harry, and Ron seem to want to know you, Hermione, Harry, and Ron still seem to want to know you, judging by the way they were attempting to break down the door. Of course we still want to know you, Harry said, staring at Hagrid. You don't think that Skeeter cow... Sorry, Professor, he added quickly, looking at Dumbledore. I've gone temporarily deaf, and I haven't any idea what you said, Harry, said Dumbledore, twiddling his thumbs and staring at the ceiling.
I love Dumbledore.
Only he can do stuff like that, right?
I've gone temporarily deaf, Harry. He's adorable.
Yep. Right, said Harry.
Dumbledore, fine by me.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
No. Oh. What does that mean?
There's this campaign called Gay Fine by Me.
Yeah. Because he's gay.
Yeah. Just makes him
Nowhere mad. In the books does it say he's gay, though.
I know.
Right, said Harry sheepishly. I just meant... Sorry. Hagrid, do you think we'd care what that woman wrote about you? Two fat tears leaked out of Hagrid's beetle-black eyes and fell slowly into his tangled beard. Living proof of what I've been telling you, Hagrid, said Dumbledore, still looking carefully up at the ceiling. I've shown you the letters from countless parents who remember you from their own days here, telling me in no uncertain terms that if I sacked you, they would have something to say about it. Not all of them, said Hagrid hoarsely. Not all of them want me to stay. Really, Hagrid, if you're holding out for universal popularity, I'm afraid you'll be in this cabin for a very long time, said Dumbledore, now peering sternly over his half-moon spectacles. Not a week has passed since I became headmaster of the school when I haven't had at least one owl complaining of the way I run it. What should I do, barricade myself in my study and refuse to talk to anybody?
Good for Dumbledore, that's right.
Yeah, you're not half-giant, said Hagrid croakily. Hagrid, look at what I've got for relatives, Harry said furiously. Look at the Dursleys. An excellent point, said Dumbledore. My own brother, Aberforth, was prosecuted for practicing inappropriate charms on a goat. It was all over the papers. But did Aberforth hide? No, he did not. He held his head up high and went about his business as usual. Of course, I'm not entirely sure he can read, so that may have not been bravery. Come back and teach, Hagrid, said Hermione quietly. Please come back. We really miss you. Hagrid gulped. More tears leaked out down his cheeks and into his tangled beard. Dumbledore stood up. I refuse to accept your resignation, Hagrid, and I expect you back to work on Monday, he said. You will join me for breakfast at 8:30 in the Great Hall. No excuses. Good afternoon to you all. Dumbledore left the cabin, pausing only to scratch Fang's ears.
He's a dog lover, too! He's so perfect.
When the door had shut behind him, Hagrid began to sob into his dustbin-wet, lid-sized hands. Hermione kept patting his arm, and at last Hagrid looked up, his eyes very red indeed, and said, Great man, Dumbledore, great man. Yes, he is, said Ron. Can I have one of those cakes, Hagrid?
Ron, you're so dumb.
Help yourself, said Hagrid, wiping his eyes on the back of his hand. Ah, he's right, of course. You're all right. I've been stupid. My old dad would have been ashamed of the way I've been behaving. Yeah, because his dad was a little more intimate with the giants.
Yeah.
More tears leaked out, but he wiped them away more forcefully and said, Never shown you a picture of my old dad, have I? Here. Hagrid got up, went over to a dresser, opened a drawer, and pulled out a picture of a short wizard with Hagrid's crinkled black eyes, beaming as he sat on top of Hagrid's shoulder. Hagrid was a good 7 or 8 feet tall, judging by the apple tree beside him, but his face was beardless, young, round, and smooth. He looked hardly older than 11. This was taken just after I got into Hogwarts, Hagrid croaked. Dad was dead chuffed, thought I might not be a wizard, see, because my mom. Well, anyway, Of course, I was never great shakes at magic, really, but at least he never saw me expelled. Died in my second year. Dumbledore was... What's that?
So that's sad.
Yeah. Dumbledore was the one who stuck up for me after Dad went. Got me the gamekeeper job. Trust people, he does. Gives him second chances. That's what sets him apart from other heads, see? He'll accept anyone at Hogwarts as long as they've got the talent. Knows people can turn out okay even if their families weren't, well, all the respectable. Been doing some, but some don't understand that. There's some who'd always hold it against you. There's some who'd even pretend they just had big bones and rather than stand up and say, I am what I am, I'm not ashamed. Never been ashamed, my old dad used to say. There'll be some who hold it against you, but they're not worth bothering with. And he was right, I've been an idiot. I'm not bothering with her no more, promise you that.
Mm.
Big bones, I'll give her big bones. Harry, Ron, and Hermione looked at one another nervously. Harry would rather have taken 50 blast-ended scroots for a walk than admit to Hagrid that he had overheard him talking to Madame Maxime. But Hagrid was still talking, apparently unaware that he had said anything odd. You know what, Harry? He said. Why does he only talk to Harry? Looking up from the photograph of his father, his eyes very bright. When I first met you, you reminded me of me a bit. Mom and Dad gone, and he was feeling like you wouldn't fit in at Hogwarts, remember? Not sure you're really up to it. And now look at you. School champion. He looked at Harry for a moment and then said, very seriously, you know what I'd love, Harry? I'd love for you to win. I really would. It'd show them all. You don't have to be pure blood to do it. You don't have... But Harry is pure blood, isn't he?
Well, not technically.
Oh, not pure. He's,
Mm-hmm.
But both his parents are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be ashamed of what you are. It'd show Dumbledore's the one who got it right, and anybody, as long as they can do magic. How are you doing with that egg, Harry? Great, said Harry. Really great. Hagrid's face broke into a wide, watery smile. That's my boy, Harry. You show him. Beat them all. Lying to Hagrid wasn't quite like lying to anyone else. Harry went back to the castle later that afternoon with Ron and Hermione, unable to banish the image of the happy expression on Hagrid's whiskered face, as he imagined Harry winning the tournament. The incomprehensible egg weighed more heavily than ever on Harry's conscience that evening, and by the time he got into bed, he'd made up his mind. It was time to shelve his pride and see if Cedric's hint was worth anything. And that is the end of chapter 24. And next we'll read chapter 25 called The Egg and the Eye. Do you like that, my boo?
Mm-hmm.
You're very cute.
You're so cute.
I love you very much. Will you continue? I love you so much, Kitty.
I love you more.
Sleep with
me. Okay.
Good night, Kitty.